Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long.
Back with us, man. 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row.
That's if you make it three, that's what they call a winning streak.
Oh. Huh.
Two's a streak.
Two's a streak.
Yeah. Two's a streak.
Like
two's a streak.
In Devil May Cry, whenever you're shooting people, it starts at two.
That's true. Yeah. Most combos in fighting games, they have like two hit combos and stuff.
Yeah.
One, two.
Yeah.
Two.
Two rights and a jab.
That's boom. That's a good call, Garth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how's y'all's, it's kind of a short week. We recorded New Year's and kind of recording again. It feels like a short week.
Yeah.
Even though it's almost been a week since we recorded. So how's y'all's week been?
So far, so good. The weather's definitely been changing.
Oh, my God.
I talked about the weather again.
It's 70 degrees today.
Well, someone on, someone on Facebook just mentioned, like, who's disgusted by this winter weather in Texas? I said, what? You don't like your underwear sticking to you in January?
Yeah. Sticking to both your thighs. You gotta peel it off.
Yeah. Last week it was in the low 60s and high or 50s. And now it's in mid 70s. And then tomorrow I think it'll be in the high of 50s again.
It'll be 30 degrees next week, probably.
Probably.
We're playing like turnstile with freaking thermostats here. Yeah.
Wicked.
Yep.
I actually had the air on right now because it was a little stale in the house.
Yeah.
I'm going to run the air. It won't kick on much, but it was like that in between. Felt stuffy in the house.
Jackie's been getting on to me for turning on the air. I'm like, I'm burning up in the house. And
I'm dying.
I go to turn on the air. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, turn on the air. I'm frying. She's like, well, I'm going to be cold. Well, I guess you're going to be cold. Grab a blanket.
You guys have ceiling fans?
I was like, I can't run around naked.
Yeah,
yeah, we have ceiling fans. She'll be like, oh, choose either or. And I was like, I choose the AC. And then I'm going to flip it. And so I'll turn the air conditioning off, and then I'll turn the fans on, so I still kind of get that effect for a little bit.
Yeah.
So you were telling us a story pre-show about someone who listened to the show.
Yeah, new listener of the show.
And, they called you out, which is kind of fucked up.
Yeah. They told me that I was cursing too much. I don't remember. If I don't remember, does it mean that it ever really happened?
No.
I don't think so.
It's just like, there is no spoon.
It rolls off the tongue.
That's right.
Yeah, it just rolled off the tongue.
Well, if you're going to talk like a sailor, you're going to work like a sailor.
Yeah, so.
How did you take that? I mean, I would have been like, I mean, you know me, I'm more a little blunt. I'd be like, fuck you, I don't care.
Yeah. I was definitely like, man, I should really wash my fucking mouth, you know? Oh, sorry.
Both of y'all.
Bah.
I mean.
A side swipe right there.
You know, I just think that I'm fine with people and their beliefs, you know, religious, sexuality, whatever. You know, I don't care.
Yeah.
You're happy in your life.
Our bearded friend.
But don't tell people what to do. Don't tell people how to talk. Don't tell people what to believe.
America.
Yeah, go about your business.
Freedom
every day.
Of speech.
And if you don't like someone saying the F word, well, ignore it.
Oh,
what do you never watch a rated R movie?
You
know, it's just like.
By the dawn's.
And, you know, if you don't like cussing, then maybe you shouldn't listen to this podcast. Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, because I'm sorry. I'm known to drop an F bomber now and then. I do it less. I seem to be doing it more now that recording late and the kids are asleep. When the kids are awake, I don't seem to drop them as much.
Yeah.
That's just me, man. I mean, I'm just. Yeah.
You know. No, I was watching this, you know, these random YouTube clips will just swing by your newsfeed. And there was this guy, and he was getting called out for cursing so much. And it was like a teacher. And she's like, aren't you upset that, you know, are disgusted in yourself that you curse so much? And he's like, no. He's like, that's not a big deal to me. And he's like, a big deal to me is like treating people bad or. You know, right. Bullying somebody.
Well, he's
like, it's just language. It don't bother me.
You know, it's one thing if you're cussing and, you know, saying bitches and I'm going to tear that pussy up and things like that, you know?
Yeah.
But if you're...
like the Indian guy from 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Right. But we're in the South, man, dropping shit
the
or
dirty
damn
South?
Or fuck every now and then. It's just how we talk, man. Yeah. I mean, it's just... That's the way, you know,
yeah,
I was raised as a country boy out in the country and things like that. We talk a little rough. And but it doesn't make you a bad person.
It's you know? Like a light it's, British, like in Britain. Yeah. I feel like F is like saying and.
Boy, they throw or, the C word like right. casually.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's certain things you don't. It depends on how you use bad language, you know. And but I don't know if there's anything you know necessarily wrong with it either.
No, no.
So, but you know, I'm sorry you had to go through that.
It's okay. Eating
therapy.
No, no. I'm just gonna, you know, if I say fuck three more times, that's 346 fucks in this.
That's right.
Wash your soap,
as one man once said.
Wash your mouth out with soap.
That's right. And then we have another person this week on our last episode. You know, me, I was a little congested. You were a little sick, and we were getting over colds, and so I sounded like I was talking through a tube.
Yeah.
And you were a bit
snotty. Oh, your nose.
And you kept a lot.
Yeah.
So the show posts to YouTube automatically. I don't really promote it. It's just there. People want to listen to it on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
So a guy made a YouTube comment and said, blow your nose. He called himself Cal-El, his little...
Yes, Cal-El.
If this is someone we know, okay, great. You know, we appreciate it, you know, calling us out. If it's someone we don't know, you know what? Fuck off.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes things happen when you record a show. You know, we had power go out on us one time.
We don't have those fancy microphones.
Oh, my God, when the power went out.
I mean, we have children.
Yeah, I know, right?
I have children sometimes in the background. Hell, I listen to Kevin Smith shows, and his dog bark. If he records at his house, his dog barks in the background all the time. And he's supposedly a professional.
Yeah.
So, you know what? It happens sometimes.
One would say the grandfather of podcasting.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, a bit of a snorted nose now and then, you know, we apologize, but at the same time, we don't. You know, the show must go on, and we
yes. felt
that we wanted to get a New Year's show in. And so...
It's not like I went, you know, did like a long sniff, like I was doing yeah, a line like of snuff or something. Yeah.
I didn't notice when I was listening to it.
I didn't really notice it either. When I went back to listen to it, I noticed it a little more, probably because I was listening for it. But you know what? Whatever. You know, it's...
But now that I know about it...
You're going to notice
I'm made aware of it.
And, now that I've been made aware.
But, so, you know.
Yeah.
You call us out, we're going to call you out.
We're going to call you out, sir.
Straight up. You know.
Kal-El.
Go over there yeah. and bring some kryptonite over
That's
there.
Right. You know, he's probably like 12 or something.
Probably.
But he could be someone we know, and he's listening to this and laughing like...
It's probably Frank. It's Frank.
Would Frank be smart enough to have his YouTube name is Cal-El? He would be just like Frank being Frank, just like his Facebook.
Yeah, Frank being Frank yeah. or Spusa.
Or he probably wouldn't even make a YouTube name. He would just be anonymous.
Yeah, anonymous. You know. And then we wouldn't even know. And then we'd be like, who the hell?
But anyway, so I had to call out your church friend and this guy...
He's a good guy. I just had to give him some slack. Give him some flack.
But you know what? If you can't handle the heat, get the fuck out of here.
I used to know a sheriff's deputy that used to be on the weekend shift, you know, just being on the watch for Blockbuster Video.
Right. Blockbuster Video.
His name was Deputy Segura, and he didn't like watching cursing in the movies and stuff, but he was an awesome, awesome human being, you know?
Yeah.
Used to talk about movies, like old classic movies with him, and he would recommend me old classic movies for me to check out. And
he'd be like, watch Casablanca.
Yeah, or Marty.
Marty.
Yeah, so that kind of reminds me of someone like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's retired by now.
Well, I remember being when I was like a teenager, and you know, you cuss at school or with the Boy Scouts or whatever, yeah. but you didn't cuss at home.
Right,
you
know? Yeah.
So I would go see you like a rated R film like Die Hard or something, my dad, and there's all this language, and he'd sit there and be thinking like, man, what is dad thinking about this? Because my dad...
Or nudity.
My dad didn't cuss a lot. He was very like conservative. My dad was straight-laced, didn't say bad words. I remember seeing Fight Club with my dad, and you know, the whole scene where he's rocking the bed. I'm like, this is awkward. I'm like 20 years old at that point.
Yeah, still, watching R-rated movies with your parents is still awkward, no matter how old you are. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know.
That is an awkward scene.
Yeah.
He's like, what is Tim Burton thinking at
any,
that time?
Any family, really, because I saw a couple years ago the 300 sequel, Rise of the Empire.
How was that?
It was okay. Yeah. And we went to see it with my cousin and Kim, you know.
Who, oh, okay.
He was just dating her at the time, so I didn't really know her that well. You know, he's married to her now. And that was really awkward, the sex scene in it, because you're like, oh, I'm with my cousin and his new girlfriend, and they're screwing like crazy on the table. So it has those moments.
Yeah.
But anyway, so let's get into today's show. We're going to be talking Flash Gordon here in a little bit. But as always, we I'm doing my hand thing. Matt starts looking at me sometimes when I do my
Ricky Bobby
hand thing.
Ricky Bobby,
we always start the show with Download This, where we tell you what we streamed or watched or checked out this week. So what have you guys watched this week or checked out or streamed?
I have watched the first two Harry Potter films just because my wife was like, we need to have a movie night. I was like, okay. She's like, turn the Xbox off. I was like, okay, I turned it off. And we popped in. First it was Harry Potter, and then it was Harry Potter 2, Chamber of Secrets.
You know, I still have never seen the last two.
Really?
I've never watched the Deathly Hallows 1 and 2.
It's not bad.
I've never finished it. Don't know why. I've gotten to the point where Dumbledore, and obviously we're way past board, where Dumbledore dies, and I just never went to the last two after he died. I was just like, you know what?
Michael Gambon?
Yeah. Even though Richard Harris was better. But Gambon does a good job.
Yeah.
Well, there's certain moments like where Gambon's really good, and there's moments where Harris is really good. It's hard to be better than Richard Harris.
Yeah.
Because he's one of our great actors ever.
Both again. Irishmen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
But Gambon's really good, too. And the thing about Gambon is when I was watching, I'm so used to him playing villains, so it's different to see him play, you know, a good guy.
Yeah.
You know? He played LBJ once.
Yeah.
And that was a really good portrayal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, but I've always felt that Richard Harris's last couple of appearances in Harry Potter, he's like barely able to talk.
His health was rough, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
even as far back, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But he was almost trembling while he was talking and acting, you know?
Have you ever seen the
Count of
Monte?
He lived hard.
Yeah.
Count of Monte Cristo? Yeah.
God, he's so good in
that.
Dude. That's a really underrated good film.
It really is.
It's probably late 90s.
It was. I liked the promotion for it, too. It's a revenge story, man.
The one with Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
The movie's been made several times.
He's the old man in the dungeon, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So Harry Potter, huh?
Harry Potter. And then I finally got around, you know, I bought Madden 19 with the Legends pack so I could play as, like, Steve Young or Brett Favre and have Jerry Rice, Carter, and Moss as my receivers. And you have...
Super team.
Oh, yeah, dude. For best tight ends, man. Tony Gonzalez.
I could school you on Madden, even though I haven't played it in some
years. Oh, you probably could, man. So it's like the last Madden I played was, like, Madden 16. And so now you have buttons so you can... basically decide what kind of catch you want to make.
All kinds of crazy stuff.
And so, you know, I had a friend, you know, that stopped playing it because he's like, there's too many buttons now. I got to press too many buttons. It's not fun.
But most games have classic modes on them now, too. Like, I think Madden should still have a pretty classic mode. Like, I'm a big baseball guy. Like, MLB The Show has basic arcade classic modes, so you don't have to have all the complications.
Yeah, man, I decided to play online today, and I got friggin' schooled, dude.
Yeah.
I played as the Texans at first,
you don't
want to
play Madden online with these hardcore gamers.
Yeah, dude. And I'm like, back in the day, you could just pick Hail Mary, and you'd make that, like, all the time if you had a badass receiver. So I'm like, Hopkins, 40-yard bomb, interception! And I'm like, what the heck? I'm throwing interception after interception after interception. The score was, like, 57-3, dude. I got friggin' schooled.
Were you on voice with the guy, or?
I could have, but I'm not. And then I tried it again. I did better. I did better with the Vikings. I ended up making it 7-27.
I never get on voice when I play online. I don't want to hear little kids calling me cocksuckers and stuff.
I know.
It's like, no thanks. I'm too old for that.
Yeah. I could talk as Arnold. Be like, this is me. This is Arnold. Let me win. Let me win, you bastard.
What'd you watch anything this week?
I just went on the YouTube and watched a couple of...
BoobTube?
Huh? No.
Oh.
Yeah, but no. Hey, I'm single. I can do anything.
Sorry.
No, I just like to watch a bunch of history documentaries done by, historian YouTubers.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool little click. Also, PSA, you guys are familiar with Steam, right?
Yeah.
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 I've never used it, but I know what it is.
Yeah. So, like, recently there's been kind of, like, a lot of indie game developers that are unhappy with the way Steam is treating them, and they're kind of giving preferential treatment to big publishers,
like EA Games? And
Well, not EA, but just the big publishers.
Bungie.
Because EA has their own thing.
Yeah.
And Epic game store, you know, the guys who created Fortnite and all.
Oh, okay.
And Gears of War. They opened up their own online game distributing platform to compete against Steam, and a lot of indie developers are flocking to them.
Oh, wow.
But there's one big caveat. The they found spyware within the Epic game store. And the reason why they found the spyware is because Epic is owned by Chinese.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. So PSA, I mean, I know a lot of guys want to support their indie devs, but... You know,
you might get hacked.
You might get hacked, or your data stolen. Someone's
gonna make a clone of you.
Yeah, yeah.
I walk around with this.
Yeah.
Quasi long.
Right. So, proceed with caution. And that's kind of a half news bit, but I wanted to share that. Yeah. So.
Good call out.
Yeah.
I watched. We did.
I watched Flash Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
No.
We last week we did, you know, John Woo's Mission Impossible 2, and I told you I ordered Hard Target.
Yes.
So I watched it. Man, you know, it's actually, you know, I know people love Bloodsport, but for Van Damme, this might arguably be Van Damme's best film.
Is he really hard in that movie?
It's really good, and the action scenes, I want to say it's really good, but the action scenes are really well done because Woo directed it.
Do you have that bolt action gun in there?
Yeah, I think so.
The same one from Hardboiled?
Yeah, you know, there is some bit of classic Van Damme, him posing a lot and doing things, but for what the film is, and I didn't realize this, you know, that was the first major studio film directed by an Asian director.
Oh, that's awesome.
In the mid-90s, you know, and John Woo was the first, and I'm a huge Woo fan. I didn't even know that. I was like, wow.
I've always had a soft spot for Lionheart.
Yeah. You know who else is a really big Woo fan, I found out? Ric Flair.
Ric Flair, really. Woo. And I rented The Predator.
No.
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 Dad jokes.
Yeah. I rented The Predator.
Okay.
It wasn't horrible, man. I don't know why, you know, people were dogging it. I don't know what they were expecting from a Predator film. You expect soldiers to try to stop a Predator. The Predator kills them.
I heard it falls apart in the third act.
It does. The end's a bit of a mess. It gets a little bit kind of more cheesy towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
But... I still enjoyed it for what it was. Mm-hmm. I could see how they had to place together the ending a little bit because they weren't sure. Because they waited. They were really hoping Arnold would do his cameo. And they waited till late in production when Arnold said no. They had to come up with an ending. And you can tell it was kind of pieced together.
Nah, man.
But if you know anything about Shane Black and the movies he's done as a director, you know, his Iron Man 3 and even going back to the Monster Squad, you know, he's got like this underlying kind of sense of humor in his films, a little bit of quirkiness.
The Nice Guys?
Yeah.
And did you ever see that one?
I haven't, but I've heard it's good. and he's got this quirkiness to his films, and it comes across in Predator.
Yeah.
Like, I remember people in the trailers were wondering, the one comedian, I can't think of his name, the black guy, like, he had these jokes in the trailer, and people were like, that's kind of weird. When you watch the movie, you see why he has the jokes. He's got Aaron. Yeah, he's got severe PTSD, and that's how he deals with it, by telling these jokes in the movie.
Okay.
So it's the way it's handled. But, you know, it's what I would expect from a Predator film, a bunch of killing, a bunch of action. There was kind of a weird subplot where the kid in it can like read the Predator language. I really wasn't sure what they were trying to get at. But it's not terrible. It's, you know, but it's not great either.
It's serviceable.
Yeah. It's not as good as Predator 2.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably serviceable like Predators was. And Predators was, again, that was a sequel that was really good for the first two-thirds of the movie. And it falls apart in the third act, and it's only Topher Grace left to fight the Predator. It's like,
Topher
what?
Grace.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you ever saw Predators? Yeah, it's like basically it comes down to Topher Grace and a Predator at the end. You're like, what?
You know? I thought it was Adrian Brody.
Well, yeah,
wasn't
but
it?
Well, it's kind of both of them.
Yeah,
towards the end.
Yeah.
And then it comes down to him kind of killing the Predator.
Yeah.
And it was weird.
I forgot to mention about my week. Yesterday, my sister organized a big family get together to celebrate birthdays.
Yeah.
Six kids, including myself, had January birthdays. So,
right.
23 people showed up. Two table, big restaurant, Chinese
Sweet.
Restaurant.
Dang.
Had Chinese style. Chinese / Vietnamese style seafood and weird tasting fried rice, but anyway.
Was it like multiple courses? Because I know that's a real popular thing. And like,
Halibut.
I remember going to a wedding one time, an Asian wedding, and it was like 12 courses.
Yeah.
Like all kinds of different. It was really good.
Those Asian weddings, man, they go all out.
Yeah.
The reception part, at least, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't get anything.
It's good that
though.
You ate good.
I ate good, but I didn't get anything though.
Darn.
No gift cards, nothing. Except for a piece of cupcake. Thank you, brother. So, strawberry cupcake.
Hey, at least you walked away with a cupcake.
Yes, I did.
You know, as you get older,
a full belly.
You don't get as much.
Yeah. I got a pair of socks for Christmas. I usually get like, oh, I found this cool shirt. And I'm like, socks. They were so cool. They were like Stegosaurus socks. I'm like, oh, it's a cool dinosaur, Stegosaurus.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyways...
I would prefer a cupcake.
Didn't mean to bring us back off a tangent.
Okay. Tangents are cool.
Yeah.
As long as you bring them back around.
Yeah.
My last name is Tran. My former boss used to call me Trangent because I go on tangents a lot.
Trangent.
While I walk around the warehouse throwing shit.
Yeah, I know.
Man, all right. Well, let's get into today's featured film on the Rebel Radio Podcast. A very big guilty pleasure film of a lot of people.
Yes.
And a big cult following over the years. A really kind of fun movie if you just simply take it for what it is. And that is 1980s Flash Gordon. You know, this movie is a childhood favorite. I grew up watching this. You know, they wanted, you know, Lucas really wanted to make a Flash Gordon movie, and he wasn't able to buy the rights. And the rights were sold, and several different directors in the 70s tried to make this film. And it never could get off the ground. And then Lucas went on to make a little movie called Star Wars.
Yep, his own space opera.
Oh, guess what? Science fiction is profitable. So finally, they got the green light to make Flash Gordon.
Yes.
And they had Dino De Laurentiis. I don't think that's how you say his name. Producer. Producing films for many years. Finally gets the film made on a relatively low budget, but high budget for that time. You know, yeah. $20 million film.
Flash.
They get Queen, one of the biggest bands in the world at the time, to do the soundtrack, and the movie is it's a comic book on film
in a lot of ways. Look at the colors.
They took a lot of ideas from Batman 66 and comic books.
They're the screenwriter from Batman.
Their biggest issue they had was who to cast as Flash Gordon, and a lot of stars didn't want to do the film. They backed off. They were like, "Oh, it's too cheesy." So they ended up casting an unknown in Sam Jones. And
they didn't even want Arnold though.
Yeah, they wanted Arnold to do it at one point, but they didn't want him to do it because of his accent.
Yeah,
and they wanted to dub Arnold's voice, and he was like, "No, not doing it. If you're going to dub my voice," Arnold came really close to making the film if they let him use his voice, but they told him no.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine if we had Arnold as Sam Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the movie, it accomplishes what it set out to accomplish. The producers felt they wanted to make it a little funnier. The screenwriters weren't sure how it was going to work. So then they kind of met in the middle. There's some humor in it, but it's also very serious at times.
Yeah.
So there is death in this, and there's
torture
and things like that. But yet they were able to keep some of the campiness. And as I watched the movie as I've gotten older, the campiness really isn't as campy to me as it used to be. I found it campier when I was younger. Now I kind of accept it for what it is. It was a different time that films were made. Would this movie work today? No, it probably wouldn't. But does it stand up today? Yes, it does, because you understand when it was made.
Yeah, it stands up more than Barbarella stands up.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Out of your 70s and 80s schlock cheese films, this is one of the better ones.
Yes.
You know, and critically, if you would believe that critics hated this movie, which wasn't true. It was kind of split down the middle. Some critics got it. They understood it was kind of cheesy, and some didn't.
I've never seen the movie before this week.
Yeah, what did you think about it? Yeah.
My first perspective, I mean, I thought the movie was bold, colorful, ballsy because of some of the stuff that, you know, storytelling and pacing. But I felt that if they cut 15 minutes out of this movie, it would be a little bit tighter movie for me, you know? Mm-hmm. It felt like it kind of meandered a bit.
When they capture them all, when they capture Flash and the Doctor and everything, it slows down a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it slows down and, you know, Flash goes on the wooded swamp planet, and he has to deal with Prince Baron, which is necessary for the story, you know. Right. But I we'll talk about it. My favorite parts is when the
spoil the hell out of this old movie.
Yeah,
like it's a little cheesy, but I liked it for what it is. The duel between the prince, on the spike platform that kept shaking.
Oh, there's some great special effects in this. Yeah.
But I think one of my favorite scenes that caught me off guard was the death of the second in command, the dude in the black. What was his name?
Oh, Clytus.
Yeah. Clytus.
Oh, my God. When he dies, dude,
he started melting, man. And then his eyes and tongue fell out.
And strangely, he's created for this. He wasn't a character from the. He's the only character in the movie that's not in the Flash Gordon comics. He was created for the film.
Yeah. And he works too, man. Yeah. His torture methods.
Yeah. And then the unexpected way that the dude with the goggles. You know, he tore like the ones, the all-seeing goggles. Mm-hmm. He tore off one, and easy circuits on their eyes and buzzing out.
Which is a little strange factor. That's the same actor who plays Lobot.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Star Wars and in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so he played two films where he had goggles on.
Yeah. Wow. But I do like some of the visual. The visual cinematography that they attempted with the budget that they had, with
blue screen,
with the flying Hawkman, and they try to put as many as possible.
2,000
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
that actor
seems dubious. 250
Yeah, but listen, he at his Comic Cons, he always talks about how, Superman 1 had one flying guy.
Yeah,
Superman 2. You know, they had maybe three or four, but we had 2,000
Yeah, Blessed is has made a living off this film, doing cons, and he's a huge star in England because of this movie. His line, "Gordon's alive," is one of the most quoted movie lines in Britain.
Yeah, like, I was very surprised.
This was a huge hit overseas because they kind of geared this towards British audiences. With an American release planned, and because it had a lot of British actors in it, you know, I mean, there's like six actors that were in James Bond films in this movie.
Yeah, you know? Obviously Tim
was
Dalton.
Blessed in any other.
He was in Episode One, Phantom Menace. He plays Boss Nass, the Gungan leader.
Really?
Yeah, that's Brian Blessed.
Yeah,
yeah.
Anything else?
Miss being free.
With that such a booming voice and that natural charisma. Stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I'm sure he's on a lot of, you know, BBC shows.
Oh yeah,
BBC shows.
Yeah, BBC shows.
Oh, okay.
What do you think I say?
I'm going to
big black. What?
It's cars.
Yeah.
Big black cars.
Yeah, it looks like he's been a bunch of British stuff I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Haughty Towers or.
He's done a lot of cartoon work, too.
Faulty Towers, I mean.
Faulty Towers. He talked about black his. They bust in, the army busts in, and he's got this. He's like, "I've got this big cardboard bazooka." He's like, and they're like, "Action!" So they're flying, and he busts in. He goes, "Pow, pow, 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 pow," and he's making all the sound effects. They're like, "Brian, we put in the sound effects." Oh.
Max von Sydow did a really good job as Emperor Ming.
Yeah.
He was unrepentant for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sadistic.
And he did. He was really good, and he could hardly stand in the costume because it was so heavy. So he, you know, that's why he doesn't move a lot when he's in the costume.
Oh, okay.
And everything, he kind of, you know, if you watch the film, you notice he doesn't move much. He sits down, stands up. That's about it. You hardly ever see him walk except the beginning of the film when he comes into the throne room.
Yeah.
His death was sudden.
Yeah. Well, and that's an interesting thing. They didn't know how to end the film.
Yeah.
Like, they had a whole idea where they were going to, like, maybe have him and Flash battle with the swords and all that, but they were running low on money, so they couldn't choreograph it. And all that, and then they were like, "Well, that didn't make sense because if Ming has this power ring, why would he have a sword fight with Flash?"
Yeah.
So they kind of this movie. The director even said this might have been the most expensive improvised movie ever. They did have a script, but they improvised a lot of things.
Well,
Like Melody Anderson has said in interviews where she didn't even know her line; she just said something, and they said, "Okay, that works."
Yeah.
Things like that. Sam Jones.
He was dubbed over.
He was dubbed over because he argued with the producers and didn't want to come back and do his post-production work. So that's why if you talk, we interviewed Sam Jones at Compalooza. His voice is much deeper now. His voice has always been that kind of deep.
Especially if you've seen Ted, you know how deep his voice is.
It's not his voice really in the movie. And Max von Sydow also was more of a classic actor. So he kind of didn't really like the improvising. And so, same with T'Pol, who's from Italy. You know, they're like classically trained. They're like, "Well, what do you mean we're not going to read the script and improvise?" And they had to deal with some of that on the set, going with the ad-lib lines and stuff. And the way this film was all put together by a lot of improvisation.
A lot of the budget issues was because of the set designers and the costume designers. They said that they would spend a lot of money on paintings that weren't even used. They would over-elaborate the sets. You know, the color was fine because of the filters that were used. And, you know, that's what contributed mainly to the color popping, but they went overboard with the costumes and just went, you know, just really over the top, which is fine, but it spent a whole lot of money, and that's a lot of the reason why they had to cut it short. And then there's a lot of sexual undertones in this movie.
Oh, yeah, where he's on the rocket ship, and she's doing the telepathic thing to him.
Yes.
And he's like, this girl's really turning me on.
Yeah, and she's like, Ming's daughter's all on him, and he's trying to talk to his girl, and...
And like, well, and we've done a couple of movies like Escape from New York and something else we did that kind of gets that late 70s psychosexual vibe to it, you know?
Yeah.
That, innuendo.
Yeah, yeah, and this has a lot of that. It's set in the far future in a science fiction world, but yet it's got, still has that 70s disco vibe type deal to it, you know?
Dale, she you know, she tricks that servant girl into drinking the honey, falling asleep in the bed. She switches places with her. Ming comes over and he's like touching her leg, and I'm like, "Whoa, man, whoa, dude, consent."
Well,
and then he's like, "Hey, you're not the girl that I wanted to, you know, mess with in her sleep."
Yeah.
Darn,
sleep creep.
Yeah.
And, sleep creep.
Yeah.
Sleep
creep. Yeah. Well, he was. I mean, she was sleeping, he was creeping.
Yeah. But overall, the tone of the film and the colors, all it blends together really well, I think. And it's really cool to find someone who is not, you know, you're only a couple years younger than me, and it's amazing you've never seen this till now.
Yeah, but I think as a kid, I probably caught it, like,
but just didn't pay attention
bits
to
and
it.
Pieces, you know. Yeah. But never watched the whole thing, you know. Yeah. And I was a kid, I loved, you know, that sort of stuff. But for some reason, I never stayed around long enough to watch the rest.
Yeah.
You know?
And sometimes these movies like this, if you've never seen them before, if you get older, it's hard to, like, understand where they come from and appreciate them. But you're very well versed in film, so I think for you, you know, you get where this was coming from at that time and the reason it was made. And they had ideas for sequels. They were going to do a whole trilogy and everything, but unfortunately, Sam Jones' fight with the studio caused that to never happen. Why they didn't recast Flash, I don't know. I mean, you would think they could have just moved on and recast him.
Yeah.
Maybe just the success of Star Wars and other science fiction properties and Alien and things like that maybe caused it, like, there was no room for it. Who knows?
I mean, it didn't make a whole lot of money off the bat.
No, but it made its budget back eventually.
It did. Yeah. And part of that was because of the marketing. They had to go with Ming because of the whole Sam Jones thing. And, you know, no one ever, you know, markets the villain as the, as, you know, leading off. It's like, you know, you had to have Flash. He's the hero. But, you know, hey, it was
drama.
What it was. Studio drama, like you said.
And Sam Jones is another actor who's made an incredible living because of this movie. He does cons now, where he sells Flash Gordon pictures and autographs and things like that. He's got a documentary out now called Life After Flash, which focuses on the cult following of the film and his life after Flash. Mm-hmm. And of course, he appeared in the Ted films. And, you know, when I talk to him, I've heard stories about him over the years that he's not always so nice, and that's why he didn't get along with the producers. But he's always cordial at cons. I've talked to the guy twice now, and he's always really nice to me when I talk to him. Mm-hmm. I think he does respect his fans, and he appreciates that these fans gave him this fame for this cult classic film, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really was just a really late blooming of this movie, especially as of late. It's very popular.
When was the first time you remember watching it?
Oh, man, probably like 5 or 6 years ago.
So pretty recent for you, too.
Yeah.
I mean, this is very much like... I don't know if this is like a desert island movie where if I had to take 20 movies, I don't know if this would be in my 20, but this is definitely a childhood favorite that I really liked growing up a lot. And I've always wanted him to remake I've always wanted a big budget Flash remake, or not even a remake, just a reboot at this point. Because I think the character is good enough and interesting enough, and it's an interesting enough world, and that, you know, we need more science fiction out there besides just Star Wars and Star Trek. I'd like to see more franchises like this.
Retro future.
Yeah. I know, you know, Disney tried with John Carter and it didn't quite work. I don't know if I'd call that retro future, but it could be in that same vein.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see another Flash Gordon. I guess the latest rumor is the guy who directed that horror film that came out, was it Overlord? that one that just came out recently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I guess he's going to tackle it. Now he's tied to as a director to bring a new Flash Gordon film to the big screen.
Yeah.
So we'll see, you know, if that happens. I think it will one day. This character, I mean, Flash Gordon's been around since the 1930s, so he's not going anywhere. You know, he's a character that's going to be with us.
Flash.
Oh, man. You know, let's talk about, you know, Queen at this time was a
this
huge...
This is 1982.
This is so huge.
Well, 80. The movie came out in 80, so this is probably summer of 79. They asked Queen to do the movie, and they, like, jumped on it. They're like, yeah, right away.
Heck yeah.
Freddie Mercury and Brian May were huge science fiction fans. They love sci-fi. They score the movie with some score mixed in from another composer, and then they were really only two songs made for the soundtrack,
mm-hmm.
and actual songs. And only one appears in the movie, which is Flash Gordon. You know, and it became one of their biggest hits, you know, their career. And I think... recently with Bohemian Rhapsody in theaters, which is a, you know, fantastic movie, it's brought some light back to Flash Gordon also, and being Freddie Mercury and the story of him being back in the news, you know, with their movie out. And and this soundtrack was, for many years you couldn't even get this soundtrack, and it was re-released back in 2007 when the DVD was re-released, when they put out the Savior of the Universe edition on DVD for Flash Gordon, and it allowed people to find this music again. For many years the Flash music was out of print.
Yeah,
you know, and it's funny. Queen did two soundtracks. They went on to this, and they did another movie we already covered. They did the soundtrack for Highlander, of course.
Yes,
you know, which they actually did more songs for that than they did for this. And but I think Queen's Flash song kind of makes it more exciting.
Yeah,
like, I think so.
Like
too.
The rocket cycle scene is my favorite scene, where he's flying in. It's just Flash. You know, it's really,
on the motorcycle.
Really, it's really great, man. I remember as a kid.
It elevates the scene.
You know, I was a kid. I'm not kidding. I would ride my bicycle and think I was Flash on the Flash cycle. You know, if I wasn't being Luke Skywalker, I was being Flash Gordon on my bicycle.
Flash Gordon.
Thinking I'm flying the light cycle. And it's such a really cool, well-shot scene. I mean, you know, the special effects are really, you meant to use the word bold earlier in this movie. They're pretty bold for this film. You know, a lot of blue screen work, a lot of big sets and stuff that risk that even Star Wars didn't necessarily take. You know, Star Wars used a lot of model work and a lot of matte paintings. Even Flash Gordon didn't do all that. They built this stuff. They took a lot of risk for the budgets they had.
Yeah. I remember the Hawk City was pretty rudimentary looking.
They did use matte scenes.
It looked like paintings. A giant plate and someone just stuck cylinders on it, you know, but that's all right, you know.
Yeah. But you know, overall it's
kind of reminds me of Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. I mean, would you guys be down for a reboot of Flash Gordon, you think?
Oh yeah. Today's technology.
Yeah.
They'd have to use JJ Watt though.
JJ Watt.
No. I'm defensive end for the Houston Texans instead of I know it was supposed to be a polo player, then they changed it to football because I guess polo wasn't hip.
I mean, that's the thing, Hollywood would do something stupid like cast The Rock or something.
Oh my god, yeah.
Or John Cena.
Yeah.
I think John Cena would
actually
do it, right?
John Cena over The Rock, if I had to choose the two.
Yeah.
That's Flash Gordon.
Yeah. Or just, you know what, put Sam Jones back in it and make it like a reboot.
Make him Ming.
But he comes
make
back.
Make him Ming.
Yeah. Oh, dude, yeah, if he was Ming.
Yeah.
But that'd be pretty
that'll be kinda, that would be kind of like, oh, that's whitewashing.
You know, it's kind of
Ming.
The same, it's kind of the same role in a way, but Tom Hiddleston could make a great Ming.
Oh, yeah, Tom Hiddleston would
even though he already kind of does it with Loki, but he could make a great Ming. I mean, Chris Evans could play Flash Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, Chris Evans could.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, yeah, Evans could do it.
Yeah, I would definitely say Chris Evans or Chris Hemsworth, but not Chris Pratt.
I wouldn't like
Chris Pratt, but I
think
just
the idea of Flash Gordon, though, is like they made him, you know, in the comics he wasn't a football player.
Yeah.
They made him the quarterback of the New York Jets because they wanted... They did, you know, it's
something
funny.
Relatable.
They did it for American audiences. They wanted him to be related to American audiences. But in the comics, I think he was just like a
polo player.
So they had to make it more relatable for Western audiences and things like that.
Is Flash Gordon a European creation or an American creation in the comics? I don't remember.
That's a good question, yeah.
I could have sworn it's an American creation.
I think it was, but it was
with
more
him
popular
being a polo
over
player. Maybe there was a European writer on or illustrator
and
on that stuff.
You know, and
influenced
it,
that.
And he first came to screen in the old movie serials back in the 30s and 40s. And some of those are actually really good, those old movie serials. I miss... Do you guys remember back when AMC was a movie channel?
Oh, yeah.
Before it had Walking Dead? And they would show on Saturdays, these serials all morning long. They would show Flash Gordon, Lone Ranger, and the Batman serials and all that. Back when AMC, I mean, not the AMC's.
Well, they did. They did History.
Yeah,
yeah.
But AMC was a movie channel back then. They would show these old movie serials all the time, and I remember rewatching them. And you can find them on DVD and stuff, but you know, they're not the best quality. But part of that is the studios didn't keep those serials up to date by taking care of them over the years, and they slowly. I know they remastered the Batman ones. I wonder, I'd have to look if they remastered the Flash Gordon. But Flash Gordon ran several serials. Like, there were several, I don't know what you call those, seasons or, you know.
I guess seasons, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, they would run them in front of the movies of the matinee. I remember my granddad and my dad and my uncles tell me they would go to the movies just to see what was going to happen to Lone Ranger the next week or the serial, you know, or whatever.
That's
that was really popular back then. They had radio serials, too, Flash Gordon and all that, where you could listen to the radio. So Flash Gordon's a character that's been around a long time.
Yeah.
And the 1980 movie is probably the biggest thing that's ever happened.
It's American creation.
Is it?
Yeah. And they wanted to adapt John Carter from Mars as a comic strip, but they couldn't get the rights.
Right.
So they had to create their own, and they created Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon.
That's interesting, isn't it?
And
Alex Raymond was the creator of Flash Gordon. So.
And I remember the Sci-Fi Channel tried to reboot Flash Gordon probably 10, 12 years ago.
It was horrible.
And it was really, really bad. I remember being excited for it, and I gave it a chance to watch it. And I'm like, oh, it was so terrible.
Yeah.
It was all in the future. There was no, like, really Earth stuff in it. It was really weird and just bizarre. And that was around the same time the DVD was re-released, because that's kind of why they re-released it.
Yeah.
To tie in with the TV show and everything. But, you know, one day I think Flash Gordon will live again on the big screen, hopefully sooner than later. I know they've been trying for a few years to get it going again. But this movie stands the test of time for me. I still love it. It's a lot of fun to watch. I recently rewatched it around Christmas a few weeks ago, because I knew we were probably doing it soon in January. And my friend Naomi, she had asked us to do this too, because she's a big Queen fan and she likes the movie too. So we hope we did the
Flash
movie justice. He's gonna save every one of us.
You know, he's gonna save every one of us.
And it's so iconic. It might be one of the most iconic theme songs. You know, even if the movie wasn't a huge hit, it's people know that song.
More iconic than Ba-na-na-na-na-na-na Batman.
Well, no, I mean, they're all up there. Batman, the Bond theme, even the movie we did last week.
The Green Hornet
theme. Even the movie we did last week, people know the Mission Impossible theme. People know the Bond theme. People know Flash Gordon's theme. You know.
If I were to score it personally, I'd probably give it a C+. I didn't have the nostalgia tied to it, you know, and maybe C+, B-.
Yeah.
So it does make me intrigued about, like, hey, if they reboot it with today's technology, I'd definitely go see it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just saw Aquaman. If they could make something that bold and that brash, I'm sure they could do it with a Flash Gordon.
This movie sits at 82% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not that I take much
flack.
Grain of salt on Rotten Tomatoes, but that's a pretty good score for a 1980 film.
Yeah.
Considering that Top Gun, which is considered a modern day classic, is like 72% Rotten Tomatoes. It's like, what? And this is higher than Top Gun. Makes you wonder sometimes how those things
work. Not the same genre.
Yeah.
But
kind of campy cheese, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you watch Top Gun now, it's ridiculous, but it's fun to watch, you know. So
all the way to dangerous.
That'll be next year we're doing Top Gun. We'll cover it right before the sequel comes out.
You've lost.
I don't want to watch the beach volleyball scene again.
Shirtless Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
And Goose.
Great balls of fire. When Goose dies, sad moment.
They just had to bring.
They have to fly F-35s now.
Oh yeah.
You can be my wingman anytime.
Anytime.
Bullshit. You can be mine.
Hey, Iceman, you stink. Talk about a quotable movie,
dude.
I tell myself
all the time. Yeah.
Michael asked me for something. I'm like, that's a negative. Ghost Rider, the pattern is full.
I think he's cast in the movie. I believe. Val Kilmer?
Yeah, he's coming back for it.
Yeah.
A recent picture popped up of him, and he looks amazingly healthy.
Yeah.
Compared to what he had looked for years. Just like Billy Dee Williams, man. Billy Dee Williams is very active on Twitter and stuff, and he looks like Lando again. He's in such great health compared. Because, man, we saw him at Compalooza. You were at that Compalooza a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, you would have thought Billy Dee Williams wasn't going to make it through the week. He looked so rough at Compalooza, but he looks amazingly good now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's. But when you have money in studios saying, go train, go train, go train, you can lose all that weight and you can get healthy.
I'm paying you big bucks. Yeah. Go train.
You know.
That's what they did with Mark Hamill and,
yeah. and Carrie Fisher. And
Carrie
yeah.
Fisher.
Yeah.
To the treadmills you go.
and Hamill wasn't so far gone, but Fisher, she needed a lot of work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
And that's what
Rest
they did.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but it must be nice to be a big Hollywood actor and just, you know, they pay for you to go get, lose all your weight.
Yes.
And get ready for a film.
Get a trainer, you know, constantly push you, push you, push you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we don't have that kind of time or that luxury.
No.
So. But any final thoughts on Flash Gordon before we get into today's news of the week?
Solid film. Still holds up today. Go watch it. Find out what we're talking about.
And I might attach the interview, which is on an episode from a couple years ago, to the end of this episode for Sam Jones.
Bless you. No problem.
I say might because I might forget. So if it's not at the end of the episode, I didn't do it. But if it's at the end of the episode, stay tuned and listen to the Sam Jones interview. You know, because it's only like 3 minutes long. Remember he was like, remember he was real distracted?
Yeah.
He kept, I mean, I understand he had kids there wanting to do photos and stuff. But like, it's like he couldn't focus. It's like, dude, we're trying to talk to you. You keep doing all this stuff. So finally, I just sort of cut the interview. I'm like, okay, we're done. You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah. It's like he had adult ADHD. It's like, dude, you can't focus for a few minutes, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I also get taking care of his fans, too. They're at
yeah.
the table. But usually when you interview a celebrity, you know, the handler or the fan or the even the actor or celebrity will tell the fans, hey, give me a couple minutes. And he just didn't. He just stopped talking to us and started talking to them. It's like, dude, what are you doing? But, oh, well. You know, it is what it is.
I guess we'll give him a pass. He defeated Ming.
Yeah. He defeated Ming.
Yeah.
And he totally improvised a jump at the end. That was
yeah,
all. That
he
was
did,
him.
He just did
like,
his own stunts.
The camera, and like, that's kind of cool. You know, and they froze the camera at the end, and then, of course, you see Ming's ring, the end with a question mark, but we never got the sequel.
Nope.
Ming's Revenge. And, you know, maybe one day we'll get
one
a full-fledged franchise with more Flash Gordon. So, ready to get into some news?
I'm ready.
I don't have much. You know, the DC animated films are very, very popular, and Reign of Superman comes out in a couple weeks, so we get to see how the really good Death of Superman is followed up, because that's been one of the better DC animated films last
year. I'll
have
to check it out.
It's really good. You know,
I hope Superman survives in Death of Superman. No.
And, you know, we've got Batman Hush coming out this year, another Wonder Woman film, and it kind of leaked out this week that they're working on a Batman The Long Halloween, which
yes.
is a super popular comic book where the holiday killer is killing someone every month of the year on different holidays, and Batman has to figure out who it is. You know, this is a really good idea. You know, it's a very popular book. I think they should adapt it. I think it needs to be done like The Dark Knight or even The Death of Superman Rancher. It needs to be done in two parts because you can't do it all in one.
Because it's long.
Yeah.
Long.
Really? Did you make a joke on a long joke?
Yeah.
With long sitting right there.
But it's a long Halloween.
I kill you.
But you know, DC hasn't really confirmed it, but there's enough news sources out there reporting this that it seems to be happening. Because,
a long Halloween.
Yeah, and there's casting notes. People are looking, they're looking for voice actors for it. So that kind of got out. Is it going to come out this year? I don't know. They've already announced their films they're doing this year, and DC tends to. So maybe it's something they're working on for next year, and they'll announce. They always announce their new slate of DC animated films at Comic-Con in San Diego in July. But this is really cool, and that's one thing I love about the DC animated films is getting these adaptions of popular storylines that we never got. I really want a Kingdom Come animated. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be fantastic.
That's my all-time favorite DC
yeah.
story.
I'm really excited for Batman Hush. It's a really great Batman
yeah.
story. I'm looking forward to that. And there's still a lot. I still am hoping we get a Green Lantern Blackest Night one day. That would be a great animated movie.
Yeah, that was a page turner.
Yeah. So, I know you guys are fans of the DC animated films, most of them. So it's a good
yeah.
idea to do Batman Long Halloween.
Yeah. And, yeah, it was a surprise announcement. Well, kind of a surprise leak. Some bit of news on my part, I heard that, it was reported that Dave Bautista has been cast in a new Dune
reboot.
That
was my other news note.
Yeah.
You stole it, man.
I took it and I ran with it.
Took it.
Yeah. So Dave Bautista. So have you ever seen Blade Runner 2049?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's being done by the same director.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to this Dune adaptation.
Yeah, you know, Dune is something that has a very passionate fan
base. The spice flow.
Yeah, and, you know, people you're either kind of a fan of Dune or not a fan, or you're kind of in between. Like, I would say I'm in between. I've seen the original David Lynch film. I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of boring. We'll just be brutally honest. It's a little boring. You know, the Sci-Fi Channel miniseries was pretty good. Actually, I think it's underrated. And it had boobies in it. I just always remember that. Boobies. You know? You know, because that was like when they first came out with those rules on TV where NYPD Blue was having, you could show like things.
Yeah.
And that was like Sci-Fi Channel's first big thing. Hey, we're going to make an adult Dune. And there's a couple of like breast shots in it. You're like, wow. And I remember watching it thinking, this is kind of weird. I'm seeing naked girls on regular
TV. They didn't censor it?
No. It was because they did the early showing. If you watch it, the miniseries from 8 to 10, they didn't show it. On the replay at 10 o'clock, it was the adult version.
Wow.
They didn't censor it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And
thank you, rating system.
Yeah, and then they did the sequel, Children of Dune, for Sci-Fi Channel, which wasn't as good as a Dune as the mini Dune miniseries. But, but it's an adaption that's it was almost made a few years ago. I guess there's a documentary, Dravitsky's Dune or whatever his name is, where they talk about the film not getting made. So it's a big project that a lot of directors have talked about tackling over the years, and now Denis Villeneuve is going to finally tackle it and hopefully bring the definitive version of Dune to the big screen that the hardcore fans want. You know, me, I have no... To me, it's like watching Lord of the Rings. I couldn't tell you if Frodo did this in the movie or not. I enjoyed the films for what they were. I'm the same way I feel about Dune. I'll enjoy it for what it is. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to it, and... I've only seen bits and pieces of Dune myself, and I didn't really sat through all of it.
Yeah.
I've only caught the good parts, but I've always stuck around and, you know, watched the rest.
Yeah. I always remember Sting being in the original.
Sting. And I always remember the
singer?
Yeah. Yeah, he was in the original Dune. Yeah. In the original Dune movie. Yeah. And the Harkonnens, the big floaty.
Flash Gordon had a lot of British actors. Dune had a lot of British actors, too.
So it intercutted, like, made the Harkonnen scene, made it a Trump scene. It was so wrong.
Oh, we didn't even mention that. You know, Flash Gordon, you know, they wanted Sergio Leone to direct it, the guy who made The Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
Really?
But he was such a fan of the comics that he was like, no, it's not even like the comics. I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine Sergio Leone had directed
Dune?
Yeah, or Flash Gordon.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, Denis Villeneuve is, he was brave to take on Blade Runner, you know, a sequel that people thought didn't need to be made and wouldn't work, and it worked on a lot of levels. So, you know, if there's a guy who can pull off Dune, you know, maybe he's the guy.
Have you seen his movie Arrival?
Not yet. It's on Hulu. I need to watch it.
Yeah.
I heard it's a slow burn, but it's pretty good.
I think Amy Adams?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the pacing is quicker than Blade Runner, personally. Because it's like, wow, how are they going to figure out the language? That's the fun part.
Well, Blade Runner is the first hour. Once you get past the first hour, I think it moves quick.
Yeah.
That first hour is so slow in 2049. I mean, I merely watched it over two nights because the first hour was putting me to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, but once you get past the first hour and he gets to Decker's apartment, from there on, it's really great.
Yeah.
You know? It just starts off a little slow.
Yeah. Sells.
I liked it, you know, and it's kind of funny. I never watched the first Blade Runner all the way through. Yeah. I always gave up in the middle or towards the first third. I wasn't a big fan
when I was younger.
But
I appreciate more as I got older.
2049, I watched that one from beginning to end, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
The first movie didn't grab onto me as much, you know?
I like it better as I get older, and the final cut's much easier to watch. The current one, it's paced better with the cuts and stuff. But yeah, Blade Runner is a has grown.
I like the sequel more than the original. That's weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
It happens.
It's because of Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Actually. For Ryan Gosling.
Well, the cinematography.
Cinematography.
The special effects.
It is amazing.
The story was a little bit more easier to follow, too.
Yeah.
Personally. You know, I felt it was easier to follow.
So now we know how you feel about Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, but he's a complete liability at quarterback. That's why Denzel had to take him out.
He was a quarterback in Denzel movie?
Cornerback.
Please remember the Titans?
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling was?
Yeah, dude.
He was in it. Yeah.
Remember the skinny white dude that was trying to dance? And
he's really good in Shane Black's The Nice Guys.
Oh,
him and Russell Crowe play off each other really well.
It's funny how you see these actors that are big now and they were in these early roles, like Friday Night Lights has a lot of young actors in it that are big now, like Garrett Hedlund's in it and a couple other guys that weren't big when Friday Night Lights came out, and now they're you know, bigger actors.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. You'll watch those movies where they play teenagers and young characters, you know, and then years later, there they are. They're stars. I mean, Ryan Gosling's arguably one of the biggest movie stars in the world now.
Yeah.
And even though he pissed me off in La La Land, I sit there and watch that movie because Mary wanted to watch him. I'll watch musicals, and then he doesn't even get the girl at the end. I'm like, what? I just wasted 2 hours. You know, it's like, damn it. Yeah. But, you know, so any other news? Because you stole my thunder with the Dave Bautista. That's only, it's been very slow, but it's a week after New Year's.
Yeah, well, yeah. I can tell you what I'm looking forward to in February. I'm definitely going to check out Battle Angel Alita because I've heard that Cameron had held on to that movie.
Oh, for years.
Rights for years, and he kept, you know, just kept putting it off. And then Robert Rodriguez is finally doing it, and her eyes look better, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, so. One interesting thing about this, too, is I was reading, you know, Robert Rodriguez is notoriously famous for filming in the Austin area, in San Antonio area, because he's from Texas. You know, studios out there, you know, most of the Desperado movies were made here and Machete. And Cameron basically told him, no, you're coming to Hollywood, we're making this proper. And
what? Yeah, really?
And you're using the studios and that we have access to, and you're not filming this on location. And just from the trailer alone, it shows. It's the first Robert Rodriguez movie to me that
looks like... Let me drag you by the ear.
Yeah. If you look at just the trailer, it's the first Robert Rodriguez movie to me that feels like a Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
You know, and I appreciate Sin City and the other movies he's done. I don't think From Dusk Till Dawn's that great. I think it's cheesy fun.
Yeah.
But Robert Rodriguez...
Do you need any other scene than the guy with the gun for a dick? And friggin'...
When was the last time you watched
it? Selma Hayek pouring liquor down her foot and making Tarantino.
Right after that scene, the movie falls apart.
I agree.
Yeah.
But that's all. And then you've got Cheech going, the pussy.
No, it's fun. I mean, right as of now, I think Robert Rodriguez's best movie is made.
Planet Terror?
Planet Terror.
Yeah. I think his best movie he's made to this point is Sin City, the first one.
Yeah,
Sin
City was really
good. And I do like Desperado. I think it's a fun action movie.
Mm-hmm.
The third one
has its moments, but it's such a mess. You know, the studio rushed the film. They wanted it released, and Robert Rodriguez said, no, I need 3 or 4 more months to finish editing it. And they were like, no, we're putting this out. We've already put money behind the marketing. And Robert Rodriguez has openly talked about before, like, he never got to complete Once Upon a Time in Mexico. It's not a complete film. Mm. It wasn't ready. And they had to release it. And this shows in the editing that there's some weird, like, editing skips and plot jumps in that movie. You're like, wait, what happened?
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that the studio interfered with that film because it could have been a really cool sequel to Desperado, and it turned out not to be that cool sequel that we could have gotten, you know. But it is what it is. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to Battle Angel Alita. I mean, it looks like a freaking anime on screen.
It does.
Just from the trailers. It looks cool as shit. I wasn't sold the first trailer last summer, but that latest trailer was like, wow, this is really cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm also curious about Alita because I waited years for that movie to be made. So I'm definitely going to check it out. And freaking A, you know, in March, Captain Marvel. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then.
And Dumbo. Yeah, that's.
Dumbo.
I'm like, that's. Yeah. You know, Disney's like making a ton of money by doing all these live action remakes.
Yeah.
And I don't know how Mary Poppins did, but.
It's done okay, but not as big as they wanted it to be.
Yeah.
But it's, you know. Yeah. It's, to me, Mary Poppins, the current generation of children don't know what that is.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's a. There's one thing to be said about these legacy sequels like Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah.
But. That's only 30 years. Mary Poppins is like 40 years. That's a huge generation.
That's like trying to reboot Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang got its only reboot in Ace Ventura When Nature Calls.
That's just going to... I'm just cutting the months and weeks until May and April and May.
It's going to be a good year.
Yes.
Yeah, very.
Avengers Endgame.
John Wick.
Oh, yeah, John Wick.
Godzilla.
Godzilla. Everything's in May. I'm sure there's stuff in June and July we're not thinking about yet.
Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man and Toy Story 4.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Toy Story 4. Yeah. I don't care what
Terminator 6.
That's in November.
Yeah.
I remember we didn't know the date last week.
That's right.
It's in November. So,
yeah.
So it's coming. So, well, all right, let's preview next week's movie, you know, as we continue trekking on in 2019. We're going to go off the cuff a little bit from sci-fi and stuff and do a... a 1980s classic. We're going to talk The Untouchables.
I grew up in a tough neighborhood. Sometimes reputation follows you.
Robert De Niro is Al Capone.
There is violence in Chicago, of course, but not by me and not by anybody I employ. And I'll tell you why, because it's not good business.
Kevin Costner is Elliot Ness.
I have sworn to put this man away with any and all legal means at my disposal, and I will do so.
Sean Connery is Jimmy Malone.
You want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
You just joined the Treasury Department, son. Everybody knows where the booze is. The problem isn't finding it.
Let's do some good!
The problem is who wants to cross Capone.
Somebody messes with me, I'm gonna mess with him.
You carry a badge?
Yes.
Carry a gun.
Get your hands in the air!
You're all under arrest.
You fellas are untouchable.
Is that the thing? No one can get to you?
Hey, everybody can be gotten to.
All right, then. Drive him to the station. Anything happens, you shoot first. You understand me?
Well, I'll tell you one more thing. You got an all-out prize fight, you wait till the fight's over, one guy's left standing, and that's how you know who won.
Just tell me, are you being careful?
Careful as mice.
I want to hurt the man Malone. I want to start taking the battle to him. I want to hurt Capone.
This man can finger Al Capone. This man can put Capone behind bars.
Well, what's the matter? Can't you talk with a gun in your mouth?
You're not to prove your methods.
Yeah? Well, you're not from Chicago.
I want you to find this Nancy boy, Elliot Ness. I want him dead. I want his family dead.
Paramount Pictures presents a Brian De Palma film.
I have forsworn myself. I have broken every law I swore to defend. I have become what I beheld, and I am content that I have done right.
You got nothing. Nothing. And if you were a man, you would have done it now.
Never stop fighting till the fight is done.
The Untouchables.
And this film is directed by Brian De Palma. You know, this film is credited for changing the way action films were looked at that point. You know, action films were done a certain way. You had the Stallone movies and Schwarzenegger movies. Mm-hmm. And De Palma came in with a whole new eye and kind of recreated the way the action genre was seen. And crime movies and monster movies were the Godfather, you know, at that point. And he gave he did this film and gave things a new way to look at crime films, which heavily influenced, you know, Martin Scorsese was influenced by this film to go on and do Goodfellas and the films he did. And that was only a few years later. And Scorsese was already a successful director at this point, but yet he saw The Untouchables and thought, wow, you can make a movie like this, and it doesn't have to be just mobsters talking and stuff. A great cast. Kevin Costner, Sean Connery.
Sean Connery's really good in the movie.
And Robert De Niro.
De Niro's in it.
Yeah, De Niro.
It's going to be a fun one to talk about. You know, it's been a long time since I've watched it. I probably haven't watched this movie.
I've only seen bits and pieces of that one.
I probably haven't watched it in 20 years. It's on Amazon Prime, I believe, right now, and Hulu. It's on a couple of streaming services. So anybody out there who wants to watch it with us before doing the show next week, go check it out. So you're up to speed with this classic film. So it should be a fun one to watch.
I agree. I'm excited.
Previews from y'all's end, yeah.
Yeah, just, I mean, the shooting range scene, it's like, I mean, that's really cool. And of course, the scene at the end, that it's like, I felt like for a long time, turning it on TCM, Turner Classic Movies, every time I turned it on, it would be at the end whenever Costner's on the stair steps towards the end. I'm like, can I catch it at the beginning of the
Costner's
film?
Costner's one of my favorite actors. I've always liked the things he's been in. He's made some cheese films, but he's just always really... He's like watching your next-door neighbor act. He kind of always related to Kevin Costner, even though this is one of his darker roles. You know, he generally played like the dad guy, but this was more, you know, he's pretty heavy in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so. There was a film that I went to go see of his. It was called Dragonfly. And I the movie wasn't that great, and so I just ended up making out with my date in that film, in that movie.
Was that date your current wife?
I always wanted
to. No, it was not.
I always wanted to see A Perfect World.
That's good.
You know, yeah. Clint Eastwood directed that with Kevin Costner in the lead. So that's one of those movies that kind of I didn't get a chance to watch fully all the way. So.
There's, like we, I just mentioned The Godfather. I've never been able to make it through the whole thing. I find it's, I try 30 minutes in, I'm like, I'm bored.
Maybe it's just a product of its time.
Yeah. You know, it's just one of those movies.
Sometimes I liked
it. Get through it. Yeah. I mean, one day I'll sit down. I've never seen Casablanca. You know, I've just, you know.
It's only an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just one of those things that, you know, I'll get to them eventually.
Yeah.
But so next week, The Untouchables. That should be fun.
Yes.
And anything before we go? That's all I've got.
Well, that's it for me.
That's it.
Flash.
Go to our Twitter at Rebel Radio Pod and follow us. You can follow me at I Gather Speed. Matt, your Twitter is the weird one. You're like electric_monkey with an EE.
Yeah, with EE.
Yeah.
Because the EY was, it was taken.
Yeah.
And then,
And then me at Evil Dr. Tran.
Yeah. And you can find all our episodes on the RebelRadioPodcast.com. We're on basically all the apps. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, not a problem finding Spotify, iHeartRadio.
Yeah.
Should have no problem finding a way to listen to the show and checking us out. And we appreciate all the support. There's go to the website. There's T-shirts and stuff for sale. You know,
Rebel Radio. Yeah.
I never took them off of sale, so they're still on
they're
sale.
They're still on sale.
Rebel Radio, someone still loves you.
Yes. He's here all day, people.
I can't think of a better way to end it like that.
Yes.
As always, thank you for listening. And remember, just go
there and do it.
Hey, Headbangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.